give you a heads up. This is the first time I've ever done this. Noel had asked me a few weeks ago and told him I would pray about it, and I sought some godly advice. And within 2 minutes, they told me to tell Noel, go ahead, that'll do it. But anyway, that's right. I went to 2 Samuel 23. God's really been taking me there lately in the last number of months. I really, really enjoy this. He's talking about the mighty men of David. So I'm going to kind of bring my message out of there. If you can bring that up for me. 23:8-12. 2 Samuel. These are the names of David's mighty warriors. Now, excuse my pronunciation on these. Jesheb, Besabeth, the Tenemite, was chief of three. He raised his spear against 800 men, whom he killed in one encounter. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Doad, the Ahuite. As one of the three mighty warriors, he's with David when they taunted the Philistines, gathered at Pas Damim for battle. Then the Israelites retreated, but Eleazar stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. The troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. Next to him was Shammah, son of Agi, the Hariite. When the Philistines banded together in a place where there was full field of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them. But Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about great victory. How many times have we retreated? When the battle's is in front of us, and we've retreated and let somebody else fight the battle for us. You know, I've been a Christian since 1993, and I can say most of my time, most of my walk, I have done that. I've gone to church down the road when the special speakers come in, get filled up, go home feeling glorious, the Holy Spirit full of it. But I let him do the work. When the battle was in front of him, he did the work or she did the work, and I came back and I took from the dead. And it only filled me for a very short time. And then I was back walking in the world again. You know, how many times did I go back and pick up the lentils in the field after the battle? That didn't get me anywhere. Didn't fill me. Just for a short time. And then I'd be back in the world again. I want to go to Ephesians now. 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the peace, gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He says there to stand firm. That's what the mighty men of David did too. When the battle was on them, they stood firm. Definition of stand firm is to refuse to abandon one's opinion or belief. Hold firmly, stand fast, be empathetic or resolute, and refuse to budge. Continue to say or do what you think is right, even when other people think you are wrong. Now, when I go through the Bible with the stand firm, right through the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's talked about many times. Exodus 14:13. Stand firm, you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. Who wants deliverance? But he says, stand firm. 2 Chronicles 20:17. Take your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. Proverbs 10:25. When the storm has swept away, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever. Matthew 10:22. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Stand firm, and you will win life. Luke 21. 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Be on your own guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. 2 Corinthians. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. Galatians 5. It is freedom that Christ set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. 1 Thessalonians 3. For we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. So then, 2 Thessalonians. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you. James 5. You too be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. 1 Peter, resist him, standing firm in faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. We've lived in a society for a long time where the Christian beliefs and the Christian morals were a way of life. This country was founded on Christian beliefs and Christian morals. But I believe we're in a time now where things are changing. Things are changing, and not for the good. The Christian beliefs, the Christian morals, the things we are taught in this Bible are not the way society wants us to be anymore. And I believe this is a time now as Christians that we need to stand firm. We need to stand firm on what the Bible teaches us. We need to stand firm on what we believe. The lukewarmness is gone, and God is now seeking a people who will stand firm on his word. Not just on Sunday mornings, not just when a special speaker comes to Faith Works, not just when we're talking, Andy and I talking to each other in a coffee shop. But it's in the workplace. It's in the homes. It's in the schools. Yes, we're going to be persecuted for it. But you know what? So was Jesus. We need to ask ourselves, do we really love him? Do we really want to stand with him? My answer is yes. Because there's a day coming. It's coming soon in this country where we need to stand firm. And we need to stand together. And we need to stand with Christ. How many of us are willing to risk it all? I have a good paying job. The Lord has very blessed me with a very well financial job and authority. Am I willing to risk that? Because society says that if I talk about God, if I pray with a patient at work, I could lose my job. Am I willing to do that? I can honestly say in the past I wasn't. But that's changing. Because no matter what, God will always look after me. You know, if I lose my job because of him, so be it. If I lose, you know, where I live, if I lose my friends because of him, well, you know what? They weren't friends to begin with. Yeah. If I lose my job because of him, it was my job to begin with. do we want to keep getting the lentils out of the field after somebody else has done the work? Or do we want to stand that lentil field and defend it? Do we want to go pick from the dead after somebody else has done the work? Or do we want to defeat the Philistines ourselves with the Holy Spirit on our side? I'm afraid this is going to be a lot shorter than I thought it was going to be. But who's with me on this? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you're hearing what we're saying, what we're declaring, Lord God. I think everybody who wants to stand up, and let's do a little prayer and declaration. Lord God, you see our hearts. You see us wanting to stand up for you, Lord God. Just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you've done for us. And you've asked so little of us. But we declare in the name of Jesus that we're going to stand firm. We're going to stand firm on your word. We're going to stand firm on your promises. No matter what this world is going to throw against us, we will stand firm. Stand firm against the Philistines. No matter what the cost. Because we know at the end of the race, we'll win the prize. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I've got another half hour to kill. Well, I can go. Let's go back to 2 Samuel 23. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's right.
Well, just like Andy was saying, we're a community. And when the battle is on, we need community, we need fellowship, we need each other. And I even, one Saturday night I remember coming, I didn't want to come, but I thought the enemy is just not going to deter me because that would be his plan. And I came, and by the time I left, I had this such tremendous peace from the Holy Spirit. And I can certainly tell you, I was not peaceful when I came. And I was just like, wow, God, you just, the blessings, right? There's so many blessings, and just his, it just amazes me what God does all the time. I'm never unamazed at his ability to change my thoughts, my attitude, my opinion, and that peace. I'm just, it was like, wow, I went home and I said, thank you, God, that is awesome. Awesome.
Thank you.
So that's you stood firm.
Yeah, I just said, I'm not going to let the enemy, detour me with this battle.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go and I'm going to, just lunge on, and then this tremendous peace. I've never felt anything like it. Well, I have a different, but this was, I knew there was such a dramatic change. And all I did was come and be in his presence, fellowship and community. That's all I did to get that lovely peace. It's just,
and that's why the community is so important.
Yeah. And even when Roger, right? Everything that's going on, you guys lift me up continually. And whatever battle is going on, you just lift me up.
Thank you, Roger.
I don't know what I'd do without you.
Thank you. We love having you, Susan. So 2 Samuel 23:13. During harvest time, three of the 30 chief warriors came down to David to the cave of Adullam, while a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. At that time, David was in the stronghold, and the Philistine garrison was in Bethlehem. David longed for water and said, "Oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem." So three mighty warriors broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. "Far be it from me, Lord, to do this," he said. "Is it not the blood of men who went at the risk of their lives?" And David would not drink it. I quite like that story, because David said he longed to drink from the well near Bethlehem. So these three big, burly, mighty men of David, these guys that stood firm against the Philistines in battles, broke through the enemy line, risked their lives to get David that drink of water he longed for so. And they brought it back to him. What do you do with it? I mean, they brought it back because he really wanted a drink of that water. And he didn't drink it. He poured it out to the Lord. Now, it doesn't say what their reactions were. But I imagine their reaction, because they loved David so much and they followed him and they obeyed him so much, that they didn't care. But how many times do we do that? God tells us to do something. God puts it on my heart to give Betty $50 towards her ministry. And Betty goes out and buys lottery tickets with it. I know she's not going to, but she does. But if she did, and I would sit there and I'd say to Philip, do you know what Betty did? God told me to give her $50. No. She will not buy lottery tickets. Yeah. No.
We are the best.
Yeah. So they're asking for water?
Imagine on these hot days,
commercial. Yeah. All right. Let me rephrase this. God tells me to give Barry $50. And he buys the lottery tickets. But I say to Philip, and gives it the gifts from the heart. That's all right. That's all right. But how many times when God tells us to do something and we obey, do we put stipulations on it? You know, Philip, I didn't appreciate that Barry went out and spent my $50 on lottery tickets. He could have done a lot more with that money. But who is it for me to question God? I was just obedient to God. These three mighty men of David were just being obedient to David. But they didn't question him when he poured it out. He poured it out to the Lord. But they got it for him. They could very easily have complained to each other that we risked our lives and David just poured it out. What would have happened next time they went against the Philistines? Would they be fighting as courageous because they've had their grumbling about David? They've had their grumbling. But how many times do we put that stipulation on when God tells us to do something, tells us to give money, you know, tells us to help out that widow, tells us to help out the orphan? But you know what? We help that drug addict or that alcoholic. And we spend a lot of time with them, and a few months later, they relapse. And then we give up. But are we listening to God when he tells us to help them? Then we give up on them? We're not to. We're not to. When God tells us, gives us orders of what to do, we're not to question them. We're not to look back afterwards and to see if they wasted or not, that they didn't spend it, they didn't do it the way we wanted them to do it. And that's why I love these mighty men of David. And these are mighty men of David, they call, but it's mighty men and mighty women of God. So we're to stand firm, we're to listen to him, and we're not to look back and question later. He will. Always does. And it's just putting our trust in him.
This verse came to me on a beach south of London, Ontario. I was struggling with a liver disease. I hadn't yet had my transplant. And I was really frustrated, and I was standing on the beach, and I'm going, God, like, you know, how much more? How sick can you be? You know, sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know. And I remember this verse coming to me, and the part about having done all. Because you question yourself, have I done anything to, like, help myself or whatever? And you question yourself, and you have confidence. Your confidence kind of wanes and stuff like that. And that's what was happening. I was struggling on the beach and just walking, and this verse came to me. And having done all. So like the Lord said, you did everything you could do to stand. And that just brought me such comfort and such hope. Because I didn't have to feel guilty that it was something I did, or I haven't done enough, or any of those millions of questions that come to you when you have a chronic illness. But the Lord just encouraged my heart and said, having done all, stand. And then I was able to, like, stand in my spirit and say, okay. It was kind of a holy bracing, really. Okay.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Any other testimonies about standing firm?
I would like to speak about the cost of discipleship or cost of serving God. When I got saved, I worked at Rogers Phone Store. I started witnessing about Jesus Christ to every customer. Then I got, like, I was afraid I'm going to get fired. So I was like, if a manager was in the back room, he could see the cameras. Maybe he will hear me. So that night, I went back to church. I was worried if I'm gonna get fired or it was a new job. I was broke. I didn't have any financial stability, so I needed that job. But God has called me to serve Him, so I had to witness to many people. And that night, I got 3 job offers right from the church. And God is like, "You do your job, I'll do mine." Right?
Amen.
So I didn't. I'm still at the same job. I didn't lose my job. And the very next day, God just forced me right into the manager's room. And I started talking about God to him. And the other day, he was singing Jesus songs. And I asked him, "When did you get saved?" And he said, "Not yet." So now he knows that he's not saved. So we don't need to be worried about what's going to happen to us. The Bible says we are more important than the sparrows. If you see the wildflowers, He has created those wildflowers and the grass which withers away in a day. He did it in such a perfection. And we are more important because we have to live eternally with Him. So we don't need to be worried about what's going to happen to us while serving Him. Just go in faith and stand firm. And God will give us that faith and courage and boldness. It's not us. Everything comes from God. So God bless you with this word. Thank you.
Thank you. I know you have a testimony, Sherry.
Oh, I don't know. I kind of been like on my heart saying, "Is this okay to say?" Because I don't know if this is in the Word of God, but it's Talisa. I wanted to apologize to you. I don't know if publicly. No, I mean, it says confess your sins to one another, but I was hard on you last week, and it wasn't about you. It was just stuff in my heart, and I love you, and I want you to know that you're really important in my life, and I just love our time together, and I just want you to know that. I don't want you to be taken back by my harshness because you're important to me. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Thank you, Lord. It's about community. Anyone else? Testimony?
No, I just have to say that that's beautiful to see. Because we're all under a lot of stress, no matter what it is, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to jump like that. It might come out wrong, somebody might not understand you, or whatever. That is the true love of God that I just
see. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I think about all the times that we've just stood firm. I think, 11 years ago when we had our house fire, and you were in nursing school, and we lost everything. We were staying at his brother's place, between his brother's place and my sister's place, with 2 naughty children. But anyways, my son's here, so I can just say that to get a gig. Anyways, there was a few people that spoke up and said, "Well, Simon, maybe you should take a year off." And they kind of convinced him that he should take a year off. And I said, "Nope, nope, this is something God said you were to do, so you're going to stand on it." And actually, we had some mighty women of God in his university, and they said, "No, no, you keep going." And, I mean, you've dedicated your nursing to God, and he's just overflowed it. But that was one of the things where we just kind of stood firm. And I know several years ago I had, I used to be in a lot of pain. I had several arthritis, so I've been healed, and I have no pain at all now. But I would be down for a few days, sometimes a week. I mean, my son can attest to helping me stand up so I could go to the bathroom, walking me to the bathroom. Anyways, God told me that I can't be going on feelings or how I was feeling that day, that I had to stand firm in his word. So I'd call on his word and I'd stand on it. And I'm telling you, some days it was bad. And some days I wasn't really walking with God the way I should be, but I knew I had to stand firm in his word. And he's been faithful to us. Mm-hmm. Very faithful to us. We've stood firm in our marriage. It, in January, it would be 29 years.
What's that?
Yeah, and we've had to stand, do you know what I mean, on a lot of things. Stand firm in the covenant that God gave us. Okay.
Mel?
I have more of an observation than anything. As you know, I haven't been coming here maybe about a year now, and you mentioned about standing up and a fear of losing what you have. My observation is that God gave you this job, whatever, so you could do what you're doing. Therefore, why should you even worry?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you don't worry about losing it because you were given it to do what God wanted you to do. Mm-hmm. That's the only. And I think there's lots of people here in this church is doing that. So,
thank you. Any other testimonies? Yeah, Roy?
I've known many times God's protection over my life. When I was 13, I drowned it. I was counted as dead. And they couldn't get pulse, heartbeat, nothing. Found myself waking up in the hospital in an auction tent. I didn't know what happened in between. When I was 18, I got hit over the head with a tree, and my skull was cracked and brain exposed, and later on from it, I didn't know the Lord then either. Later on, I was going blind from it. I lost half my eyesight. In between, I'd given my life to the Lord. When I was 28, I became a missionary with Youth With Mission for a couple of years. And I found in it, one day I went to this meeting, and this person was praying for people, and miracles were happening, and prayed for me, and next thing I could see clearly, my headaches left me, my back went back into place. Three miracles that day.
Amen.
And during that time, I lived 2 years without an income. I was in drama production and went to L.A. and to Hollywood. I wasn't supported by a church or nothing, but God was with me. He had led me, and it was amazing how he provided for me. And like even 6 or 7 years ago, I was hit by a car, taking 8 feet out in front of the vehicle, landing my back, and the car looked like it was going to run right over me. And it was stopped right at my feet. A week later, I got this letter in the mail from a friend down the States. He said, God woke him up that morning to pray for me like it was an emergency. So,
amen.
All I can say is, and when I was in Hollywood also, the Lord led me to speak to this motorcycle gang, and there was about 50 people in the motorcycle gang, and he told me which person to speak to, and that when I spoke to him, I was quite interested in what God had to say. Some of the others wanted to kill me because I was... saying things to them that they didn't like. So I was preaching the gospel, and more or less telling them that unless they repented, he was heading for a lost eternity. But he wanted to hear it. So anyway, he turned around and put them in their place. And so I walked away scot-free because he knew that God was saying it through me, and he wanted to hear it. So anyway, if you stand for God and you're willing to do whatever he asks you to do, you'll see his blessing. But you got to be willing, okay?
Yeah.
You got to be willing to take a chance. It's just faith is taking a risk.
Yeah. And we just thank you for your friend, for his obedience when he woke up to pray for you. We thank you for that. Yeah. Yeah. And thank you for standing. Yeah. I'm going to go back to some of you heard, I know, and some of you hadn't, about a dream I had from the Lord over a year ago about this church. Yeah. And it still is. I mean, dreams, I'm one of those who wakes up with a dream and, wow, that was a cool dream. And 3 hours later, I can't remember it. I just remember it being a cool dream. Well, I can remember it as if I lived it yesterday, Nick. So I don't need to write down because I can recite it. I can see the image in my mind so clear. That's how I know it was from the Lord. That I came into this church, not this little church, and the place was packed. There was people all up here, right up to this corner. Same with here. Right up here was packed. There was two people worshiping. I can't tell you who was worshiping. But the Holy Spirit, his presence was so strong here. People manifesting in the Spirit. It was glorious. I went up to the balcony. And Sheila's up there by herself today. But the balcony was jammed, packed, full. You couldn't squeeze another person into that balcony. I went downstairs. Same thing, the basement was jam-packed, full of people, everybody manifesting the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was so full in this place. It was just so glorious. And then suddenly I was back at the entranceway, and this carpet there, but in my vision, it was hardwood floor. And I was down on my hands and knees, and I was scrubbing, and I was polishing this hardwood floor. Because the Holy Spirit said that once I could get the blemishes out, those double doors were opening up and the king was walking in. But I was on my hands and knees getting rid of the blemishes. And I said, it still is clear to me now, a year later, that dream, as it was when I had it. So I'm going to leave you with that. And you can interpret that. Thank you. I know it's a little early, but...